wish I'd go on. Then he'd say, brother, I wish you'd shut up. Somebody shut him up and let's go eat. It's kind of like them little, two little boys sitting it down, you know, front on the front pew. One of them went to sleep. And the preacher turned and said, son, wake your buddy up. I said, wake him up. I want him to hear this. He said, you wake him up. You're the one to put him to sleep. Of course, I don't advocate that. That was a little bit disrespectful, but there is a little point in it that every preacher might want to consider. In the 12th chapter of the book of Revelations, I'm not going to go into it, but I'll just give you a little summary. It's a picture of what took place in the New Testament church. Starts off showing a woman. Said, I saw a great wonder in heaven, a woman standing on the moon, clothed in the sun and a crown of 12 stars in her head. It goes on to show that this woman is pregnant. So you can right there erase the fact that you think this is in heaven where God's at. See, there's different heavens the Bible talks about. We're in one right now. We're made to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We're in heaven. This is a first heaven condition we're in. There's a second heaven condition. There's even a third heaven. Bible talks about that. And then he sees another wonder in heaven, a great red dragon. And the dragon begins to fight against, he wants to kill, he's waiting to kill this man child that this woman's supposed to deliver. Well, this woman is the church. She's standing on the moon, which is the lesser of two lights, which is the Old and New Covenants, the Old and New Testament. And she's clothed in the sun, S-U-N, the Son of Righteousness, Malachi said, would come with healing in his wings. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ in the New Testament. The New Testament church was clothed in that. Clothed in the righteous truth of the Word of God, and the 12 stars, or 12 crown of 12 stars, is the rulership, or the apostles, the 12 apostles that ruled and was the government over that church. And they impregnated that church with the Word of God that would bring forth the likeness of Jesus Christ in people's lives and character. If you was in that church, you was born of that Spirit, that new man, and there was enough of the process of the true, unadulterated Word of God ministered unto your life that would transform you fully, that you became like Him. And that made you worthy to be in the bride and rule and reign with Him for 1,000 years. And the dragon represented Rome and the Jewish religious system that Rome gave power to control the religious people. And that's how they killed Jesus. They had the power of the dragon backing them up. And that dragon and his angels fought against Michael, which is the military name of Jesus. It means like God. And his angels, which was his apostles. And there was a war that took place in heaven. They were in second heaven. That was a divine order of God back there in that early church. And there was a war that took on. You can see it. If you read the New Testament, you can see Jesus, after he died and resurrected, he came back on the day of Pentecost as the head of the church and was manifested through the Holy Ghost. He and his Father made their abode within those people's lives, which became the temple of God in reality. And they began to preach this message and take the sword of the Word of God. Sister Rachel, they was preaching it. They was telling it. And it brought destruction to religion. It brought a destructive thing to that religious element that was rejecting Jesus and had become false in what it was doing. And they were warring against these disciples. They put them in jail. They beat them. They tried every way in the world to stop them. But you can't stop God. And the message of Jesus Christ kept going right on. And in the 12th chapter, it just says that the dragon prevailed not. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon and his angels, and the dragon prevailed not. And when he saw, look in the 13th verse, it said, when the dragon saw that he was cast unto the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. See, the dragon was cast into the earth. He stayed in religion, but he didn't have a place in the body of Christ. They manifested that was false. And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness unto her place, where she nourished for a time and time and half a time from the face of the serpent. And that's 1260 years that Roman Catholicism ruled during the dark ages of the Gentile, of these Gentile times. But finally, during that time, it made it possible for the woman, the church, the true church, to take the wings of the Bible, the Old and New Testament, and fly to the United States of America, a place where there'd be separation of church and state, a place where God could finish restoring and finish the work that He has. Look, saints, this world still wouldn't be here if God wasn't still working on His plan. He's not finished yet. We read this morning in Bible study that in the seventh trumpet, all things would be finished. So it's not finished yet. we're still here. We're still working on the plan of God. But the dragon saw he was cast out. Now look, in verse 15 it said, the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the earth helped the woman. And the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Here the dragon was cast out of heaven back there in the early church in that war that took place. That's what took place back there in the New Testament church. There was a war, a religious war that went on. But it wasn't, like Paul said, we're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. There was principalities of religion and things that were going on in religion that had civil power backing it up. That's what they were wrestling against. It was coming against them trying to stop them. But they won that battle. Spiritually, the people of God overcame. The man-child was caught up to God in His throne. And the dragon was cast out of heaven. That's not talking about... Look, there's people that uses this chapter to try to show the devil was cast out of heaven. You cannot use that. I ain't even talking about that. It's talking about during the New Testament time and the New Testament church, that this war I'm telling you about was going on. But when the dragon saw he was cast out, he spewed a flood out of his mouth to try to do away with the woman, but it helped the woman. There was a flood of religious doctrine that came out into the whole world, and the whole world swallowed up Christianity. And that helped the true woman, because nobody could find her, because everybody was Christians. And the dragon couldn't stamp out the true woman, because everybody was claiming to be a Christian. She had a place to hide. God, in His wisdom, made a way for His people and His church to go through the dark ages and come out of it. And then finally, the Lord began to restore the church. And I was just going to mention a little history about that. When I started talking here, and my mind got to going further than I meant for it to go. But men like Martin Luther, John Calvin, Huss, the Anabaptist people, this started out with men that began to reform and began to bring restoration of God's Word. It was God doing it. But he began to give revelation. And God began to reveal truths. And some of the first revelation was is that you couldn't be saved by just going to a priest and asking him to forgive you and paying money to get your sins forgiven you or doing some of those rituals that religion had set up. But Martin Luther got a revelation out of Habakkuk that the just must live by faith, that it took faith in Jesus Christ to be saved, and that you would have to repent. They were still sprinkling back in those days, but they finally got the revelation of water baptism. They began to teach what I taught here today on repentance and water baptism. Then, in the early 1900s, at the turn of our century, many things took place for 360 years that began to restore and great revival just of repentance and conversion is the main message they were getting that began to bring man back to the fear and reverence of God and beginning to try to make sense out of the Word of God because it had been kept in Latin and chained to Bible stands by only the priest could read it. But thank God, men like Martin Luther. And did you know that there was no inventions during that 1260 years of Catholicism when it ruled the world? But when God started having reformers step out and begin to preach inspired, anointed messages, God started and gave inventions. Paper was one of the first inventions. Pencils and paper. And finally the printing press. Gutenberg. Finally they began to print the Bible. That was Martin Luther's vision, to see the Bible printed up in German where people of that day could read it for themselves and see what he was saying was in there and rejoice because things that they had never heard, they'd get to see for themselves. He said, everybody needs one. Then finally, at the turn of the century, right up in Topeka, Kansas, they began to study about the baptism of the Holy Ghost and said, what about this? Is this no longer for God's people? John came preaching. This is why Jesus is coming. He said, there's one mightier than I. They'll come. He's coming after me. He'll baptize you with the Holy Ghost. Paul went up on, when he went into Ephesus, he said, he asked the disciples he met there, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? They got those scriptures. Peter said, this is for you. It's for your children and as many as be afar off. They begin to pick up God. You know, God illuminates those little things and helps us to see what he was saying back there. This is for us. Finally, a little old woman said, look, I believe if you guys will pray for me, even though Brother Parham's not even here, he left us to pray and fast and see if God would give us more on this. She said, I had a dream, and God showed me a dream. If y'all lay hands on me and pray for me, he'll give me this Holy Ghost. And they prayed for her. They gathered around her. That little school class gathered around her that day and began to pray for her. Brother, something began to take a hold of her. Something began to work right down in her innermost being, began to swell up, and she couldn't hold it in. And in a little while, it came out of her. Stammering tongues, stammering lips, and other tongues. She began to speak in another language. And it began to get on others, and others heard about it. And a Pentecostal group of people evolved in this United States of America. And it went from Topeka, Kansas to Houston, Texas, and from Houston to Azusa Street in Los Angeles, California. And for 3 years, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, people went in that little Azusa Street and come out of there speaking in other tongues and got this new birth of the Spirit that the New Testament talked about, and God is restoring and getting a Gentile people in the end of their work. I was going to tell you, I mentioned it a minute ago, how all of us tried to fulfill what we thought God wanted us to do, and we found failure in it. It's because you can't do what God wants you to do in your own will or your own strength. You have to let Him do it. The secret is learning to yield and be patient. It's commit yourself to Him and continue to develop in Him and let Him work in you. But you can't move ahead of God. When we do, we find we can't do it. And that's what happened in the Gentile world. The Gentiles began to grasp this and tried to get it all. But they wound up doing what Abraham and Sarah did. They wound up just building an Ishmael, trying to figure out how to produce the promise of God. And that's false religion. But you have to wait on the Son of Promise. You got to wait on the Child of Promise, this new man, this new work of God. You got to submit yourself to Him. You have to keep coming before Him. You got to keep by faith. You have to be willing, even to crucify the very thing God promised you. You got to be willing. You got to say, God, it's in Your hand. I'm just serving. I'm Your servant. I'm yielding to You, and I'm allowing You to work in my life. You bring Your will forth in my life. And God in His will is working, restoring His church. And back when the baptism of the Holy Ghost was being poured out and the Pentecostal groups began to evolve and develop, there was a man. I'm giving you a little history of this people by the name of William Souders. That was just an old sinner boy, was a fisherman on a fishing boat on the Ohio River. And he went to one of those Pentecostal revival meetings, and God got a hold of him, and he went to the altar that night and was saved. And God began to deal with him, and out on his fishing boat, you know, they had these on the Ohio and Mississippi rivers, they used to have these fishing boats that would, you know, they'd find schools of fish. They made their living by that. And they'd get out there and they'd find a school and they'd call one another. They'd come over and all of them would gather around that and they'd begin to put their nets down and they'd begin to catch those fish. That's how they made their living. And so he became buddies with all those guys that had boats and was fishing for a living like he was. One day he was out there and those other guys was out there. Of course, they all knew old Will Souders had done found religion. He was already an outcast because he made it public. And one day he was out there on his boat and something began to work down inside of him. And it began to swell up inside of him. Y'all ever had that happen to you? If you got the Holy Ghost, you know what it's like when the Holy Ghost begins to swell up inside of you. You know you're fixing to blow up some way. Something's fixing to happen here. I can't hold this. I'm not going to be able to hold this in. A little while you get so full, it gets right up in your throat, and you just have to let it go. Well, that experience happened to him, and he got the Holy Ghost right out there on that boat. And he was thinking all the time when this happened, these guys are going to think I'm crazy. He knew what was fixing to happen to him, but sure enough, he had a Holy Ghost fit right out there on his boat. While he was out there on that boat one day, the Lord spoke to him in an audible voice. He said, William Souders. And he began to look around. Can you imagine? Finally, he said, yes, Lord. He said, I'm calling you to preach my gospel. He said, that part, my gospel, is what rung out more than any other thing. Of course, he's just having this experience out there on the boat by himself. But God called him out there to preach His gospel. And he began to preach. He got his Bible, just an old sinner boy that didn't have any theological training to begin to study the Bible. God began to anoint him. He began to preach what he was getting. And he got around other preachers. And they liked him, but they heard him preach. And what he was preaching wasn't traditional. It wasn't customary. It wasn't the message that they all knew and were preaching. One day they got him aside and they told him, "You're going to have to quit preaching that stuff." He said, you're preaching it wrong. He said, "You have to change on that." And of course, he wanted to be accepted. He wanted to be an accepted preacher, so he began to try to conform. When he did, he lost his anointing. One day he asked God, he said, "God, what has happened? Why are you not anointing me anymore? Why can't I feel the unction of the Holy Ghost, the anointing that I had? What's going on?" Finally, the Lord spoke to him and he said, "I called you, William Souders, to preach my gospel, and you're preaching man's gospel." And he began to break down and repent to God. And he said, "God, if you'll forgive me and give me my anointing back, I'll preach it however you give it to me. So help me, God, I'll never give in to that again." And God began to inspire him with messages, and he began to preach it. And he began to preach, to my knowledge, all that I've ever been able to find out, he began to preach the first message in America about the body of Christ, that there's one body, that God wants his people to come back together in one body with one head, Jesus Christ, over the church. And that God's going to restore his church. And he's going to have a people, a church like the first church. Like that New Testament church. When God gets through with the Gentiles, he's had to let us. Just like he let you individually, trust, go ahead and try to fulfill my will with your desires and all your mind. And when you find out you can't do it, and you throw up your hands and yield over to me, I'll come in and do it. And that the Gentiles for nearly 2,000 years have been trying to fulfill the will of God. And they've built an Ishmael. They've built a religious system out here of Christianity, but it's not God. I mean, God's been in it. God's worked in it. He's just like the Psalms of Solomon said, he's skipped on the heels of religion. Any little thing that swole up out of the ungodly world and even became a little hill or a little high place that could have influence over people concerning Jesus Christ, Jesus has visited that. And he's leaped on the mountains of religious organizations. But he said, "My love, she is but one, the only one of her mother." Before he's finished, he's going to have a people. He's going to have a restored church. The winner. Let me read you that scripture. And I'll try to close here right away with this. In Songs of Solomon, let me read you a scripture. That song, the book of the Songs of Solomon is a poetic prophecy of Jesus and his bride being made up and coming together. When God finishes his work, let's start. I'll read that in the 7th verse of the 2nd chapter. It says, "I charge you." Here she is talking. It's this is a poetic book of the bride, the true church, talking to Jesus, and he's talking back to him. This is a love affair going on, a courtship. And she says, "I charge you, O you daughters of Jerusalem, by the rose and by the hinds of the field, that you stir not up nor wake my love till he please." In other words, this is not going to happen till God. We've got to wait on him to accomplish His will at His time, and we've got to have enough patience to wait on that. You girls, get a vision of that. Quit calling boys, quit chasing after boys, and quit trying to get boys to have interest in you. But live the life of a Christian and an upright young woman, and God will send a man if you'll be patient. God will send the right man to you. You'll trust Him for that. That's why girls, many years ago, that was totally uncouth for a girl to call a boy. Now they're so forward. But girls used to just hold themselves and let boys come to them. And they'd pray. Good godly girls would pray, God, you send me the man you want me to be married to. And I'll wait on your will to be done in my life. I'll quit doing what the whole world does, and every kid in the body that thinks that they got to do it the way the world does it. But get it in your mind that God is my Savior. He's my Lord, and He will watch over me, and He'll direct my life the way He wants it if I'll be patient and wait on Him. And if I'll set my focus on Him, He will protect me. If I move outside of His will, He'll let me have my will. And you may suffer many years of doing your own will. And you boys better do the same thing. You better ask God, pray to God, and have God direct you. All of this crazy flesh running, the flesh running loose, just doing what this world does. Let me tell you something. The reason you and I are here is the people of God is for the purpose of God to be fulfilled in this world. When God finishes His purpose with His people, He's going to destroy this. He's going to destroy this ungodly world. The only reason you and I are here is to fulfill His will. He's called us out of the wild for that. Hallelujah. I know that sounds hard, but it ain't hard if you yield over to it. You start getting on your mind. Get up in the morning, look in the mirror, say, old boy. I just wanted to include y'all. You know what you're here for today? To do the will of God. I know it's got a lot of natural things in it, but God will direct you today if you let Him. You'll let Him work in your life. He'll direct your steps. And that's your purpose for being here. And if you're going to be a son of God, you're going to be a daughter of God, and you're going to have the will of God in your life, you better make room for Him to begin to direct your steps. You better get spiritual enough. God, help me to be spiritual enough today to be led by You. And don't let me be foolish enough to give over to carnality and waste another day. Verse 8 says, the voice of my beloved, behold, He cometh, leaping upon the mountain, skipping upon the hills. That's what I'm telling you. Jesus was just waiting. He was just sleeping, taking His rest, because He knew He couldn't work. There was nowhere for Him to work. Man was working. Man was doing their will, and He just said, all right, boys, go ahead. You got the reins. I'll just go to sleep. I'll just lay down here and go to sleep in the boat. You boys think you know how to get to the other side, but I know there's a storm coming. You'll want me to wake up here in a little while. Don't you wake Him up till He pleases. When it's His time, I'll tell you right now, it's time for us to begin to wake God up. Begin to call on Him and tell Him, we need Your help, Lord. Jesus, we need Your help more than we've ever needed You. There's a storm that is, this thing's out of control. We can't make it without Your help. And we want You to know that we need Your help, and we're dependent totally on You. He woke up. Men felt that way. He woke up and He began to leap on the hills. He began to visit every little group of people. He come leapeth on the mountains, skipping on the hills. My beloved is like a roe or a young hart. That's a deer. Behold, He standeth behind our wall. He looketh forth at the widow's window, showing Himself through the lattice. See, we couldn't see Him very good. You could see Him looking through the window, but there's a lattice there. You just see through the cracks of the lattice. I caught an image of him. You know, when a boy comes around sparking, you know, you'll just see him. You'll see him. He'll come around. He'll be looking at you. Now, but he won't get too close at first. He just, right now, something's caught his eye about you. Yeah. One place in this story, she heard him at the door. She heard the doorknob rattling. And she jumped up. When she finally got awake enough to realize it, what was going on, she jumped up and opened the door, but he was gone. But his perfume was on the doorknob. Oh, he came and visited me. Whew, he's getting close. He's interested. I just got to get awake enough. I can't let him go next time. I'm telling you, saints, Jesus is coming closer to the church than he's ever been. He's sparking. He's looking for a bride. Get ready. Get ready for that. Make yourself ready. The 21st chapter of Revelation said the bride, she has made herself ready. Whoo, mama. Look at, dust off my shoulders. Fix my hair back there. How do I smell, mama? How do I look? Look at my eyelashes. Have I got that? How do I look? You think he'll accept me? Huh? Look in the mirror. Oh, give me a mirror. Let me look at the backside. Let me make sure everything's ready for him. I got cold chills running up and down my spine, up my arms. Ooh, I'm tingling all over. He's sparking me. Verse 10 says, my beloved spake and said unto me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. For lo, the winter is past and the rain is over and gone. See, there's been a dark age. There's been a winter. No fruit, no harvest time. But now, the voice of God saying, look, it's over. The winter's over. It's over and it's past. Verse 12 said, the flowers appear on the earth. The time of the singing of the birds has come, and the voice of the turtle dove that's talking about, that's a type of the Holy Ghost, is heard in our land. The fig tree putteth forth her figs, and the vines with the tender grapes give a good smell. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. Jesus is coming to make up his bride. And there's people that's hearing the voice of God in this. Brother Saunders, he had a message. There's to be one body. We've got to get the truth of God's word restored. We can't keep preaching different things, different preachers teaching different things. That's damnable. There's just one truth, and we need to get it for God's people. They need the truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. From what? From sin and despair and corruption. When the truth of God's word works in your life, his work will be finished, and it'll accomplish a new you, a new man, an overcomer, a bride member. Hallelujah. So, I just wanted to say something today about our calling, what God's asking us to, what he's called us to. Our heights are set high for the prize, the mark of the prize of the high calling that is in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's don't settle for anything else. I'm looking for an overcoming life. God's not finished with me. I've still got a ways to go, but I'm trusting in him. I'm believing that I'm fully persuaded that what he's begun in me, he's able also to perform it. Hallelujah. But not just in me only, but for you also. Hallelujah. Woo, glory. Praise his holy name. I'm happy today. We've got a great vision. Hallelujah. Praise his wonderful name.
I believe the the church of the Lord is being established, lifted high for the world to see. And in the house he is building on the top of Mount Zion, Jesus included me. I believe the church of the Lord is being established, lifted high for the world to see. And in the house he is building on the top of Mount Zion, Jesus included me. I believe the church of the Lord is being established, lifted high for the world to see. Top of Mount Zion, Jesus included me. I believe the church of the Lord is being established, lifted high for the world to see. And in this house he is building on the top of Mount Zion, for Jesus included me. I believe the church of the Lord is being established, all lifted high for the world to see. And in the house he is building on the top of Mount Zion, Jesus included me. Yes, I believe the church of the Lord is being established, lifted high for the world to see. Oh, and in this house top of Mount Zion, Jesus included me. I believe the church of the Lord is being established, lifted high for the world to see. And in the house he is building on the top of Mount Zion, Jesus included me. I believe the church of the Lord is being established, oh, lifted high for the world to see. And in my house he's building on the top of Mount Zion, Jesus included me. Oh, I believe the church of the Lord is being established, oh, lifted high for the world to see. And in this house he's building on the top of Mount Zion, Jesus included me. I believe the church of the Lord is being established, oh, it's lifted high for the world to see. Yes, in this house he's building on the top of Mount Zion, Jesus included me. I believe the church of the Lord is being established, lifted high for the world to see. And in the house he's building on the top of Mount Zion, for Jesus included me. I believe the church of the Lord is being established, oh, lifted high for the world to see. Oh, and in this house, well, on the top of Mount Zion, for the world to see. And in this house he's building on the top of Mount Zion, Jesus included me. I believe the church. Yes, the church of the Lord is being established. It's lifted high for the world to see. And in this house he's building on the top of Mount Zion, Jesus included me. Yes, I believe the church is being established, lifted high for the world to see. church.
God, Sister Brenda Hired, we're so glad you just said she was driving by. I hope you just keep driving by. I just seemed like to me she could fit in this. Please stay and eat with us. We'll have service again at 5. We're having band practice today. It's probably not today, but plan on next Sunday for band practice. Some of you elders, if you would, senior citizens, go ahead and make your way downstairs. We're going to pray for the food here. Oh God, thank you, Lord, for your goodness, for this service, Lord. God, for a revelation. Oh God, for your good word and the Spirit of God that you've given us. God, don't let us take it lightly, Lord. We love and give you praise and honor and glorify your wonderful name. Bless the food and the fellowship downstairs, the hands that prepared it. Oh God, touch them, help them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. Make your way downstairs.
A handshake as you go down.
All right.
Happy
Mother Crow's birthday.
To you. Happy birthday to you.